The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. When Judas had left them, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and God will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little while longer. I give you a new commandment. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you also should love one another. This is how all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Good evening, everyone. In today's gospel reading, we're reminded of the new commandment that Christ gave to his disciples on the night before he suffered. We're brought back to the Last Supper, when Jesus was gathered with his closest companions and he opened his heart to them. It was the night when his heart overflowed with love as it never had before. It was the night when he revealed the secret identity of every Christian, that distinguishing mark. "This is how all will know that you are my disciples," he said, "if you have love for one another." And not just any kind of love, but Christ-like love. "I give you a new commandment. As I have loved you, so you also should love one another." Being a Christian is much more than being a member of a club. Being a Christian means having an urgent, important mission in life. It means being another Christ in the world. Jesus gave his very life in order to fulfill his Father's will and win salvation for sinners. Each one of us is called to reproduce in the unique circumstances of our lives that same pattern, dedicating our lives to discovering and fulfilling God's will and striving to help as many people as possible to know, to love, and to follow Christ. I found this story as I was preparing the homily, and it's a true story. Rick Hoyt was born with a severe brain damage that impeded him from speaking or from using his arms or his legs. The doctors told his father, Dick Hoyt, "Forget about your son, Rick. Put him away. Put him in an institution. He's going to be a vegetable for the rest of his life." But his father was determined to love him. He and Rick's mother took their son camping, cross-country skiing, and swimming. They encouraged him to attend Boston University. Then Rick decided he wanted to compete in triathlons. So they fashioned a special boat and a bicycle so that they could swim and ride together in triathlons. Dick, Rick's father, tows him in the boat as he swims, then carries his son to the bike, which has a combined weight of about 400 pounds. After they compete the bike ride, Dick carries Rick to a chair that he sets him in the chair, and they continue running, Dick pushing Rick in the chair. They tackle this run together. Together, they've done 31 marathons, 252 triathlons together. Love is creative. Love doesn't give up, no matter what the sacrifices. Love keeps on going. Another story I heard a while back was a story about a little girl, Sally. I think she was 15 years old and she needed a surgery, but she had a very rare blood type, and the only person they could find in short notice was her little brother. Although he was very young, the doctors wanted to use him to take some blood so that during the surgery they could give her some of his blood. They had an exact match in blood type. And so her brother, David, was only 9 years old. And the doctors went to him and said, David, would you like to donate some of your blood so that your sister will stay alive? And David thought about it for a moment and then quietly shook his head, yes. When the day came for them to take blood from David, and the nurse hooked him up to that bag, and he saw the blood begin to flow in the bag, he looked at the nurse and he said, how long is it going to take for me to die? He thought that the doctor was asking him to give his life for his sister rather than just a bag of blood for the surgery. This is what love looks like, the willingness to do anything in the service of another person. Mahatma Gandhi, he was a leader of India's independence movement, received his education in Europe. Although he was not a Christian, he had many opportunities to study Christianity and to get to know Christians. Later in his life, he commented on his experience. He said, I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ. G.K. Chesterton, the famous British convert to Catholicism and a great apologist of the faith in the early 20th century, made a similar statement. He was responding to critics who claimed that since Christianity had been around for so long but have not solved the world's problems, then it must be false. Chesterton retorted, the Christian ideal has not been tried and found wanting. It has been found difficult and left untried. These two quotations remind us of something we already know. Too often, too many Christians are satisfied with mediocre Christianity and mediocre loving. But Christ wants more from us. He wants to release our full potential as human beings. What does that potential consist of? It consists of our capacity to love, to know others as Christ knows them, and to dedicate ourselves to their good. Jesus wouldn't ask us to love one another as he loved us if it wasn't within our power. Christ knows that if we follow him down that path, it will lead us to become truly happy, and we will make those around us also truly happy, here on earth and forever in heaven. How can that happen? It has to start right here and right now in our hearts. Christ has already shown us the way. Christ has promised to give us grace. But none of that will matter unless each of us makes a firm decision to have one main goal in life, and that is to take up the difficult but sure path of knowing, loving, and following Christ. Only when we have an answer for critics like Gandhi, because only then will we Christians become like Christ. Love is our name tag as Christians. How does our love become practical? Our love becomes practical by doing the little things every day with extraordinary love. Saint Teresa of Avila said that the devil wants to get us to focus on the past and the future and to forget about the present. But the present is the only time we can really love. It is vital to form the habit of asking the Holy Spirit to show us where he's asking us to love right now. I'd like to propose a specific way that can help us to do one ordinary thing with extraordinary love. Prayer has a unique power. It may seem ordinary, but when we pray with love, its effectiveness is extraordinary. So this week, I will challenge you to set aside just 15 minutes to pray for someone else. You could choose to pray a rosary for another person. You could go to daily mass and offer it for another person. Or you could make a visit to the Blessed Sacrament for another person's intention. But whatever it is, stick to it. And then let that person know that you've been praying for him or her. In the Eucharist, we see how practical Christ's love is for us. He laid down his life for us out in his outpouring love, and he now gives us strength to follow his example. Love one another as I have loved you. Let us beg Jesus, really present in the sacrament of the Eucharist, to set our hearts on fire with love and to give us the strength to love others as he has loved us to the end. Amen.